Thank you all very much for coming. We'd like to invite you, first of all, to check your cell phones. See that your mobile is in silent mode. Cameras and pockets. Om Gyan Kimidam Tasya Gyanam Jnanam Shadakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Padamayam Tathati Shapadantikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavascha Shri Rupam Sharajatam Shahagana Sadvaitam, Sadhutam, Krishna Siddhitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha, Krishna Padam, Shahagana Radhika, Sri Vishakam, Vitamsa, He Krishna Kurta Santo, Dina Bandho, Jagatpate, Govesha, Govika Kanta, Baha Kanta, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suse Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vamsha Kolpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindho Yayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gopavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare At the moment, we're in Purushottam month, month of Purushottam, which is an extra month added to the Vaishnava calendar or Vedic calendar. The Vaishnava calendar is a lunar calendar, so the days mean something. The 30 days of the month correspond to the phases of the moon. And so the names are accordingly, first day, second day, Ekadashi is the 11th day, Dwadashi is the 12th day, and so on. And there's two sets of 15 days. So the months actually correspond to something in nature, the days of the month. Unlike, say, January or August, which are just arbitrary sets of 30 or 31 or 28 days. So that's quite nice, but when you multiply 30 days times 12 months, you come up 5 days, a little more than 5 days short of the whole solar year. And so your seasons are going to gradually be off because you're falling 5 days short every year. So then every couple of years we add an extra month and that syncs up the seasons again. That's called Adit Mas, an extra month, or Purushottam month. The Purushottam month is considered very auspicious and it's recommended, one recommendation for what to do in Purushottam month is to study 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is called Purushottam Yoga. the yoga of Purushottam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I thought we would read something from the 15th chapter today. This is verse 8. Shariram yadavaknoti yajcha pyukramati sharaha Krihit vaitani sanyati vayurgantha ivashayat. The living entity in the material world carries his different conceptions of life from one body to another, as the air carries aromas. Thus he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another. Purport. Here the living entity is described as Ishvara, the controller of his own body. If he likes, he can change his body to a higher grade. And if he likes, he can move to a lower class. Minute independence is there. The change his body undergoes depends upon him. At the time of death, the consciousness he has created will carry him on to the next type of body. If he has made his consciousness like that of a cat or a dog, he is sure to change to a cat's or dog's body. And if he has fixed his consciousness on godly qualities, he will change into the form of a demigod. And if he is in Krishna consciousness, he will be transferred to Krishna Loka in the spiritual world and will associate with Krishna. It is a false claim that after the annihilation of this body, everything is finished. The individual soul is transmigrating from one body to another, and his present body and present activities are the background of his next body. One gets a different body according to karma, and he has to quit this body in due course. It is stated here that the subtle body, which carries the conception of the next body, develops another body in the next life. This process of transmigrating from one body to another and struggling while in the body is called karshati, or struggle for existence. Krishna has said, "Mani vansha viva loke viva bhuta sanatana." All the living beings are my eternal parts. Manakshasthan indriyani prakritisthan karshati. But each of us is struggling with the senses and the mind. Manakshasthan, the seven senses, which include the mind. Karshati means struggling. Now Krishna has said that the two bodies are there, the gross body, the body that we see, and the subtle body, body of mind, intelligence, and false identification with matter. And how the living being is moving, he's eternal, but he's moving from one body to another. It's not, as Prabhupada says, it's not that the when the body is finished, everything is finished. When the body is finished, the living entity continues and travels to the next body. And here it's described that he carries his different ideas with him. Vairagandhani vashaya, the way the wind carries aromas. The air has nothing to do with, the air has no smell, but it picks up, it wafts over a rose garden and it smells like roses. It floats over a garbage pit and it smells like garbage. The air picks up the aroma of what it comes in touch with. Although the air is subtle, although you don't see it, it picks up these different aromas or smells and carries them with it and becomes nasty smelling air or sweet smelling air or whatever it is. The air is the same, but now it's become this kind of air or that kind of air because of what it's picked up from the environment. So the living entity also picks up these different conceptions according to the way the mind is directed. Krishna said one should elevate oneself by the mind and not degrade oneself. When the mind is controlled, it becomes our best friend because we can direct it toward elevation, ultimately toward Krishna. And the person whose mind is uncontrolled lives always with the worst enemy because the uncontrolled mind can drag him here, there, and anywhere. Therefore, the mind is meant to be controlled by Krishna consciousness. Shrotram chakshu sparshanam cha vasanam khanameda cha adhishthaya manaschaya vishayam upasevate. The living entity, thus taking another gross body, obtains a certain type of ear, tongue, nose, and sense of touch, which are grouped around the mind. He thus enjoys a particular set of sense objects. Purport. In other words, if a living entity adulterates his consciousness with the qualities of cats and dogs, in his next life he gets a cat or dog body and enjoys. Consciousness is originally pure, like water. But if we mix water with a certain color, it changes. Similarly, consciousness is pure, for the spirit soul is pure. But consciousness is changed according to the association of the material qualities. Real consciousness is Krishna consciousness. When, therefore, one is situated in Krishna consciousness, he is in his pure life. But if his consciousness is adulterated by some type of material mentality, in the next life he gets a corresponding body. He does not necessarily get a human body again. He can get the body of a cat, dog, hog, demigod, or one of many other forms, for there are 8,400,000 species. So the body is formed according to the mind. We can see that the body is compared to a set of clothes. In Bhagavad Vasam Sijirnani Atavihaya, Krishna says, as a person puts on one set of clothes and takes off another set, puts on another set, the living entity is changing from one body to another body. And yeah, there's lots of room over here. And we see practically that a person puts on a particular kind of clothes according to his mentality. So that you see one guy, he's wearing like, well, he's got his baseball cap on backwards and he's got a certain set of duds, a certain outfit, because he's got a certain kind of mentality and projects that mentality outward, or someone else's has the mentality of a businessman or the mentality of a what have you. Even sometimes a man has the mentality of a woman. His clothes show that. Or vice versa. So one picks up a particular set of clothing, a particular hat, a particular set of boots, a particular dress, according to what's in his mind. He's imagining that he could be like such and such person, or such and such person, or such and such person. And he builds up something in his mind. And then that all comes out when he goes shopping, or she goes shopping, and picks up a certain outfit. The outfit reflects the mentality. So on a more, of course, that's a superficial level, going a little deeper, although still superficial. The mind is thinking in a particular way about enjoying and picks up a particular body accordingly. He's thinking of enjoying a certain kind of food, seeing a particular kind of thing, touching a particular kind of thing, hearing particular kinds of things, and enjoying those things. And so it gets a particular kind of ear, a particular kind of nose, a particular kind of tongue, a particular kind of set of senses, which are attracted, as it were, by his mind, which are manifest from his mind. They're manifest from his mind. We see sometimes, even in the present body, that a person, by his mentality, his body even changes. A person starts to look like a pig, or he looks like a demon. He looks like this, or he looks like that. Because face is the index of mind. So he starts to look like what he's thinking. His body changes. Or we see a person gets angry, his bodily features change, or a person becomes peaceful, his body. But mind affects our bodily existence even in this life. And in the next life, what the subtle body has picked up, what the mind has picked up and held on to, is what his senses are grouped around. So he gets the next body accordingly, maybe higher, maybe lower. There are those who believe that we change from body to body, but they think we always go up. But Krishna says no. Rudvam gacchanti sattvasta madhye tishtanti rajasa vidhanya gunavittasta adhogacchanti tamasa. Those who are in the mode of goodness go up. Those who are in the mode of ignorance go down. We can go to a higher form of life. We can go to a lower form of life. Now we have the human form. The risk is that if I don't use this human form properly, I'll lose it. I'll go down to the lower species, in which the opportunity for spiritual realization will not be present. The opportunity for eating, sleeping, sex, and fighting will still be there. But if that's all I've used this human form of life for, that's what I get in the next life. And then I'm deprived of the unique facility of human life, the opportunity to inquire about spiritual realization. The dog isn't interested, the mosquito is not interested. They're only interested in those other things. And still he thinks he's enjoying it. The dog thinks this is very nice. The cat thinks this is very nice. They get some sense gratification. They don't know anything more. Yes, this is enjoyment. And the human being, who's no better than an animal also, absorbs himself in the same way, not understanding what he's getting himself into. He doesn't use his higher intelligence, and so he forfeits it. In the next life, it's taken away. Even in this life, it's taken away, maya pratyayam. And in the next life, even the semblance of higher consciousness is gone. Well, one has to be very careful. Apart from risk, the other side is opportunity. The person who uses the human form of life properly gets the chance to get out of this material existence and go back home, back to Godhead. If he is fortunate, then the body is like a ship that he can carry him back to Godhead, for which the spiritual master is the captain. So he can quickly cross the ocean of material existence and attain the success of human life. Go back to Krishna and go over Vrindavan. That opportunity is there. Utkramantam stitam vapi vrinjanam vagunandutam vimutha nam pashanti pashanti gyan chakshucham. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. Purport. The word jnana chakshusha is very significant. Without knowledge, one cannot understand how a living entity leaves his present body, nor what form of body he's going to take in the next life, nor even why he's living in a particular type of body now. This requires a great amount of knowledge, understood from Bhagavad Gita and similar literatures, heard from a bona fide spiritual master. One who is trained to perceive all these things is fortunate. Every living entity is quitting his body under certain circumstances. He's living under certain circumstances, and he's enjoying under certain circumstances under the spell of material nature. As a result, he is suffering different kinds of happiness and distress. He's suffering distress, he's suffering happiness also. As a result, he's suffering different kinds of happiness and distress under the illusion of sense enjoyment. Persons who are everlastingly fooled by lust and desire lose all power to understand their change of body and their stay in a particular body. They cannot comprehend it. Kamaisthaistha hrithagyana, those whose minds are captured by kama, by lust and desire, lose their intelligence. We see that practically. A person falls in love and he becomes a fool. Some wit said that love is like an hourglass with the mind emptying in proportion as the heart fills. Prabhupada gave the example that who is that Edward, King of England, that I would rather forfeit the king of the throne of England than to live without the woman I love. Prabhupada said she wasn't even pretty. Prabhupada said she wasn't even pretty. But one becomes a fool. Out of desire, one risks his life. One risks his life to win the love of a woman. One risks being shot by her relatives or whatever it might be. That's not rational. Sometimes we see great political leaders who lose their reputation, lose their post, lose everything because they became attracted to some non-prostitute and lost their intelligence. Said, wait a second, if I, first of all, whatever I'm getting from the prostitute I could get home, it's the same business. But apart from that, I'm risking my reputation, I'm risking everything. They don't think that. It's just that they satisfy my senses. One becomes mad. Nunam pramatta purite vipam yadindriya pritya apramati. One doesn't care that he's acting sinfully. One doesn't care that he's running the risk of spoiling things. But even people are... In Africa, every time you have sex, you risk your life. Some of the countries, the rate of AIDS is like 50% or more. So every time you have sex, you risk your life. But they do, really. They know. But because of the desire is so strong, that intelligence goes out the window. And then later intelligence kicks in, what have I done? They can't even understand what their Prabhupada mentioned. They can't understand what's going on now. They can't understand what happened before. They can't understand what's happening in the future. So they can't even understand just the mundane realities or superficial mundane realities when they're under the sway of strong, passionate desires. They forget it. And what to speak of these subtler things, how we're changing from body to body, how the mind is picking up subtle conceptions from here, from there. But they cannot comprehend it. Those who have developed spiritual knowledge, however, can see that the spirit is different from the body and is changing its body and enjoying in different ways. A person in such knowledge can understand how the conditioned living entity is suffering in this material existence. Therefore, those who are highly developed in Krishna consciousness try their best to give this knowledge to the people in general, for their conditional life is very much troublesome. They should come out of it and be Krishna conscious and liberate themselves to transfer to the spiritual world. Let's see what kind of questions there might be. Any questions or comments?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, loud, very true.
Excuse me?
Gotta be loud.
Okay. You spent a great deal of time explaining the nature of the mind and how it keeps us in trouble, keeps us on bodily conception of life. And that's not going to really do us any good. Ultimately, it destroys our main purpose here in life. But even as devotees, we hear this and we read it, and still,
Narottam Das Thakur says, Janiya Shunya Vishakwena. I've heard that it's poison, I know that it's poison, and I'm drinking it. Janiya Shunya Vishakwena. Yes. Therefore, one has to become seriously Krishna conscious. Even knowledge alone won't save us. One has knowledge, and in spite of having knowledge, he's carried away by power of material attraction. But one has to come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya's movement is not aiming at mere gradual promotion from to a higher material state, but it directly tries to bring the living being to the platform of Krishna consciousness so that he'll radically advance. Radically advance. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare. Chaito Dharpana Marjana, Nava Mahadava. It cleanses the mind. When we chant attentively, avoiding 10 kinds of offenses, the mind becomes purified. All of this, there's so many impressions, there's so much junk. But the holy name of Krishna is very powerful, unlimitedly powerful. But by Harinam and Kirtan, by constant chanting of the holy name of Krishna, under proper guidance, one can become free from the bodily concept of life and from all impurities. The method is powerful. Hearing and chanting the holy name of Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, worshipping the deity of Krishna, living in a spiritual place like Vrindavan, or being situated in a place that's like Vrindavan because Krishna is worshipped there. And being engaged in devotional service, in the association of devotees, sadhusanga. Association of devotees will help us immensely. And to associate intimately with non-devotees will be detrimental. We may superficially associate with non-devotees as a matter of ordinary daily affairs, but our intimate association should be with the devotees of Krishna. Is that okay? Hare Krishna.
I was thinking four falls.
You got to be really loud because number one, there's a big room, and number two, there's a fan competing with you.
I was thinking about what you were saying, and the Prabhu asked about how the intelligence and we're all the four falls for myself, there's a lot of falls, you know. But everything I read, like the Bible, you get is one of the gifts of the verse, and the bottom action. Every endeavor is going to fall, you know what I mean?
What you really have to do is kind of shout. I mean, it seems uncouth, but when you shout, you'll be heard.
Stand up. The roof of the house is here.
I think about myself, because I'm always full of faults, you know? I still have a lot of bad habits. And then but I read in the Bhagavad Gita, the people who give into wrongful actions, the engaged in those facilities. Also, every endeavor is filled with some faults. Sri Bhaktivinoda also said that if you have firm faith, but you still have some bad habits, this is generally in your heart to carry on. And then I was thinking about fear, because even when we judge ourselves, we're still in fear of ourselves. So I try not to judge myself, and I just try to carry on in the middle of the path. You know, you got to get besides, I'm weak, but I don't worry about these things. I just keep going, you know what I mean? I try to follow what says the Bhagavad Gita, which is about the Bhagavad Gita, by not worrying about these faults. Because eventually, Krishna says, you will attain righteousness and peace. You know? So I don't think we should be worrying too much
about what our faults and virtues.
And Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, despite the most sinful activities, if one is engaged in service, he has to be considered sainted. Krishna says every endeavor is covered by some fall. And so the idea is that we shouldn't worry too much about these faults. We should just carry on in Krishna consciousness. The carrying on in Krishna consciousness part is certainly true. One shouldn't become discouraged and say, oh, I'm too sinful, I might as well give up chanting, I might as well give up the process. One should stay in the process. But one should not become comfortable with sinful activities. Well, Krishna says that you're saintly anyway, so it's kind of like not worry about it too much and just not be judgmental about it. We should be judgmental. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur has so many songs, more or less condemning himself that I have this fault, I have that fault. It's good for us. We should know what is sinful and what is more pravrittim cha, nivrittim cha, what I should do, what I should not do. And karma kartami harasi, I should do what I ought to do. Karya means our duty. We should know. This is my duty, I should do it. And this is against my duty, I shouldn't do it. When Krishna says every endeavor is covered by some fault, he means that even some duty has some fault attached to it. Because I'm a businessman, I may sometimes have to lie. Because I'm a servant, I may have to sometimes serve a bad master. Because I'm a Brahmin, I may sometimes have to advise some master or perform sacrifices for some inappropriate or unsuitable person. So every duty itself has some fault attached to it. But Krishna says, don't give up your duty. Arjuna, he has to fight against his relatives because, well, he's a fighter. Or a judge might have to send a relative to jail. Because he's a judge, it's his duty. Might be considered a fault from one point of view to do that to your relatives, but it's a matter of duty. So when it's our duty, we can accept, well, this fault is part of my duty, I have to accept it. But intoxication, gambling, meat eating, illicit sex, that's not part of my duty. It's not that because I'm employed this way, employed that way, I should be. Of course, sometimes it's unavoidable, even as a matter of one's profession. Some sinful activities, one may have to come in touch with some sinful activities. What can be done? But not that I sort of say, well, you know, anyway, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, so I'm a devotee, so even though I'm doing this sinful activity, that sinful activity, this one, that one, still I'm a saintly person, Krishna says. Kshipram Bhavati Dharmama, Krishna says, the sign of a saintly person is quickly he regrets. There's a place in Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada cites a verse, my dear Lord, when I think of my sinful activities, I become ashamed. Not that when I think of my sinful activities, I think, well, anyway, why beat up on myself? Guys, everyone else is doing pretty much the same thing. Or other people are doing things that are worse. Or who knows, anyway, I'm honest about it. One should know, this is not good. Why? Because when I regret it, when I think this is not very good, that's an impetus to getting free from these things. If I become complacent, well, anyway, then it sort of becomes institutionalized in my life. It even becomes performing sinful activities on the strength of chanting, which is one of the offenses. That, well, maybe a sinful activity, but I'm a devotee, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, so I can do this and it won't really affect me because I can chant Hare Krishna and neutralize the reactions. that becomes, then Krishna consciousness becomes a sort of tool for maintaining a life of faults.
Prabhupada wrote once in this connection, he said, one should not engage the Hare Krishna mantra, the chanting of Hare Krishna, in one's sinister activities.
Mm-hmm. In one's
sinister
activities. It's sort of a modern psychological prevalent idea that one shouldn't be judgmental with oneself, one shouldn't be judgmental with others, one should just sort of accept ourselves as we are, accept everyone else as they are, and sort of go with that and not condemn or look down upon anything. That's not the view of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna himself is sufficiently judgmental. And he asks, what is a human being if he has no judgment? Good judgment. Good judgment means to know, to be able to distinguish. This is good, this is not good. This is what I should do, this is what I shouldn't do. But still not be discouraged. Even though I may not be able all of a sudden to give up all my unwanted activities, if one has confidence that if I stick to this process, I'll be able to purify my heart, I'll be able to purify my life, that's very good. Not that one should say, well, I might as well pack it in. If he's sincerely sticking to that determination, then Krishna will help him. Yes?
Yes, I was that fortunate that I was reading commentary that said Tatsasara Upanishad, and it was stated that it's the Tatsasara Upanishad is very much loved by the Vaishnavas on account of that it clearly and powerfully presents the importance of bhakti. So I would like to ask that why is it then we know from Prabhupada's commentary and Bhagavad Gita as it is, I'm not familiar what the verse was, but he states that the first half of this particular verse is also mentioned in the Mundashi Upanishad. So if the Svetasapara Upanishad is such a, is one of the greatest Upanishads, why has Lord Krishna not therefore quoted the Svetasapara Upanishad in the Bhagavad Gita?
Because he's independent and he can do what he likes.
I beg your pardon, he did quote it in the 13th chapter and the 14th verse.
And it's a trick question and I don't need to deal with it. Thank you. Next question. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I wrote you a letter.
I don't care what you wrote me.
But you're wrong.
Okay, I'm wrong.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate your humility.
Thank you.
You are wrong.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for asking your question and thanking you for letting others ask their questions now.
You're right. I'll take
someone else? Yes.
Prabhu, I struggle with this a lot. I look at myself and my condition is that I want my cake and eat it too.
Let's start again.
I want to have my cake and eat it too.
Yes.
I'm so much deep into the old karmic life that when I think about what my goal is, I want to ultimately go to Goloka, but in the meantime, while I'm here, Krishna gave me everything, all material opulence. Mm-hmm. So how do I get over?
This is our problem. We want to have our cake and eat it too. So therefore, take your cake, offer it to Krishna, and then you can eat as prasadam. We want to be the owners of the cake and enjoy the cake.